I wonder what start lines you have been on. This is the London Marathon Red Start 2021. I am positioned here, taking the photo. I'm not in the shot. I do have other photos of me finishing, looking really, really bad, actually, but I'm not in that picture. Lots of people going forward towards the start line. And today we celebrated Saffron's start line in her journey with Jesus, in her relationship with Jesus, as she has celebrated becoming a new follower, a follower of Jesus, a new creation, as it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I wonder what different start lines you have been on. In the photo, who grabs your attention? The guy in the yellow top. I wonder what he's thinking. Is it kind of, oh, I thought it was just 5K? Or, oh, it's Red Start. I was meant to be at Green Start. Or, I really wish I'd worn different colored clothes or something. I don't know. Maybe he just needs to go to the loo. There are some things, as we are at start points, that can stop us, that can hinder us from getting past the start line. I wonder what different start lines you have had. Maybe you've had a work or a qualification start line. I have a degree in economics and politics with specialism in international development and terrorism. I then became a primary school teacher and then a pastor. I haven't really used my degree. I've got the qualification, start line, yay. Wore the hat, the cape, got the scroll, but I didn't use it. I got stopped at the start line. Well, actually, I started to do a different run, a different race. What other start lines do you have in your life? Maybe you have started your relationship with Jesus. You've started to follow him. Or maybe you're just walking towards the start like the people in this race, that you're just exploring who Jesus is. Maybe you've just started with Jesus and you're jogging along with him. Maybe you've gone past that start line, but you're struggling, or you've paused. Maybe you've gone past the start line and are going strong. Maybe you've retired and recently started retirement, and actually, you don't know what you're doing, because you've had purpose throughout your working life for so long, and boom, retirement, you've stopped. You've stopped at a start line. Maybe in your marriage or relationships or friendships, maybe you started well, but actually, you're in a place now, and it's as if you're back at the start. You haven't grown in communication skills. We haven't grown deeper in love with your spouse or your friend. You're stopped at the start line. Maybe you're part of this church and we opened the hub 2 years ago and you recognize that in some way we've got stuck at the start line, because we might have hundreds of people coming in through the building each week, and we're making lots of first contact relationships and connections with people, maybe second contact and things like that, but we're not seeing hundreds who are coming through the doors becoming fully devoted disciples of Jesus. Are we stuck at a start line as a church? Over these coming weeks, we're going to be looking at the letter to the Philippians, and we'll be considering how we can live an unhindered life following Jesus. How we don't get stopped or stuck at the start line.
but we live an unhindered life, following him freely and fully. But also, in the other things, our other start lines, maybe we're stuck in a rut, or we're hindered in work. And we need God's word and God's spirit to enable us to start working in an unhindered way. Or in our marriage and relationships, we're stuck. And God's word over these coming weeks will teach us and will help us how to live an unhindered life and marriage and relationship. Let's read together. This is Philippians chapter 1, verse 1 to 11. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons. Let's just pause there. Some of you, as I read that, may have thought, well, that's not me, I'm not holy. And maybe some of the people in Philippi, as this letter was first read, may have thought, oh, I've done this, I've done that, I'm stuck in a rut, I'm stuck in behavior that isn't of God's. Let's have a look at that verse. To all God's holy people in Christ Jesus, we cannot be holy, we cannot be right with God unless it was Jesus, unless we've allowed Jesus into our lives to change us. And it is he that has declared us holy for God and holy in God's eyes. So it's for all people who have turned and believed and therefore become followers of Jesus and been declared holy that Paul is writing to. And he's also making sure that the leaders of the church are listening. It says, together with the overseers and deacons. There's a greeting. Grace and peace to you, not from Paul and Timothy, but grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder how many of us need to just know that God's message this morning is a message of grace and peace to you from heaven. Paul continues, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, and whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory of God. Paul visited the city of Philippi on his second missionary journey, about, I think, 48 AD. And then he was in prison in Rome a number of years later, and he was writing to the church in Philippi from a place in Rome where he was under arrest. So he was in chains writing to a church and encouraging them to live an unhindered or an unchained life. And the church is under increasing pressure. Pressure from within, division over different things. Pressure from without, as an outside distraction. And pressure also to dilute or accept a different teaching other than the gospel of Jesus Christ. These pressures are the same pressures that our church in the UK are facing. The church in the UK divided, distracted, and with pressure to dilute God's words. And Paul, under house arrest in Rome, writes and shares the gospel and shares an encouragement with his church with all boldness and without hindrance. Acts chapter 28, verse 31 is up on the screen, the last verses of the book of Acts. And it's from Rome with this description that we have the letter to the Philippians. I wonder, as we thought about start lines, I wonder how many of us recognize that there's been a stop at the start line, or at some point there's been a stop, or you've got stuck in your faith or in your work life, in flourishing with Jesus or flourishing in life. So when we read verses like John 10:10, where it says, I have come to give life in all its fullness. Actually, you don't feel that full. You don't feel as if your life is in fullness of life. And you just feel stuck. This morning, I want us to address some of these things so that we don't stop at the start line. We're not like the guy, the bearded guy with the yellow t-shirt, moving away from the start line. If you do know him, please say that I'm not holding anything against him. I'm just using him as an illustration. Up on the screen, there are some different things that might be the things that stop you or have stopped you on the start line. Start line of your faith, start line of your marriage, start line of relationships and friendships with people, start line or maybe mile one or mile two of other things. Fear of failure, fear of rejection, feeling unworthy. I wonder how many of the people in this room or watching online haven't been baptized and have been disobedient to Jesus and ignored his instruction to be baptized because you're waiting for the right time. If you have turned and believed in Jesus, it's the right time. If you are a follower of Jesus, you should be baptized. I wonder if you're stuck on the start line of your faith in Jesus because you haven't actually made the celebration moment and said, I want to be baptized. Maybe there are things that you're not dealing with. And in a relationship, you're stuck in a place in a relationship, not necessarily at the start line, but somewhere in that relationship, you're stuck because you're not dealing with things. And there are things that are irritating you about the other person, but you're not able to say it to them. Or maybe they haven't been able to talk it through with you. I know it isn't just me that sees things on this screen and sees reasons why we may be stuck or stopped in our journey of life and faith. I wonder what it is for you. Anyone know what chair that is? What is it? Mastermind. And the famous line, if the question master ran out of time, I've started, so I'll finish. Today's message, a big, big promise, a truth of Scripture is that God hasn't finished with you yet. God hasn't finished working in you or through you yet. To stick with the race, just because that chair makes me feel nervous. Whereas a race, I've done sprinting and marathon, so I'm okay with that. Maybe that feels nervous to you, so I'm sorry if that's the case. God isn't finished with you. Would one of our elders have the honor of praying with Michael, please? Michael's just over there. Could one of our elders just pray with Michael? That would be wonderful. Thank you. God hasn't finished with you. As we have air or breath still in our lungs, God isn't done. And there's this promise that Paul writes in verse 6, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And it isn't just your faith that he's working on. It's not just the things that he's working on in terms of making you more and more like Jesus. But it's the other things in our lives that God still wants to work on if we're willing to allow him. Our marriages, our relationships, our work life, our retirement, our different situations, our attitudes. What is it that God is needing to work on in your life? It might be that it is pretty obvious to you. It might be that as you look around, it's pretty obvious what God needs to work on in someone else's life. That was meant to be a slightly jokey thing. So look at someone else. It might be easier to see in them what God needs to work on. Take a look around. It won't take you long to spot something that, oh, God needs to work on that with them. Don't tell them straight away. What is it for you? Maybe it's some of these things. Maybe the reason why you're feeling stuck is you're just burnt out. Maybe you just have a lack of confidence and you need God to work on your confidence. It might be that you're qualified so much in work and things, but because of your lack of confidence in yourself, you're not flourishing in the way that God wants you to. And he wants to work on your confidence. Maybe it's your kind of self-belief or confidence in school. What is it that God needs to work on in you? He's not finished with you yet. He doesn't want us to stop at the start line. But what we see in these verses is a desire from Paul, who has, according to verse 8, the same affection for the Philippian church as Christ Jesus. So we can say that Paul, as he's praying for them, is praying in line with the heart that Jesus has for those people. We see that actually there are some things to grow in. To grow in holiness. To realize that God makes us holy through his son Jesus. Verse 1. To grow in the experience and awareness of the grace of God and the peace of God. Verse 2. To grow in thankfulness. To grow in joy. To grow in partnership and connection with other people. To grow in love and affection, to grow in knowledge and depth of insight, to grow in discernment and wisdom, purity, that's our inner character, holiness or blamelessness, our outer conduct, to grow in fruit of righteousness from God. These are things that Paul prays for or describes in these 11 verses that we could grow in. And there are many other things that God wants to grow in our lives so that we can live completely unhindered for him and with him. And it might be that we're just looking at this and we then think, I want to be like that yellow t-shirt man and walk away from the start line. And this morning, I want to suggest three things that will help us from not stopping at the start line, but continuing in our journey, or actually starting it. The first one is prayer. If you are following in the notes, first one, prayer. What kind of prayer? Well, first of all, in verse 3, it says, I thank my God every time I remember you. One of the things that Jill said in her testimony earlier on was that she was praying and then someone came to mind. She remembered someone. So she prayed for them. So often we think of people, or maybe we even say to people, I am thinking of you. That's nice, isn't it? I'm thinking of you. I'm thinking about you. It's nice. Jesus doesn't tell us to be nice. He tells us to be like him, to be kind. And the kind thing to do, not the nice thing to do, the kind thing to do is when we think of someone, when we remember them, we pray for them. What kind of prayers? Well, they're actually talking with God, not just thinking. If we're to get past the start line, if we're to carry on in our journey with Jesus or help others to, it starts with prayer, not with thoughts. It starts with a conversation with God. In verse 4, it says, in all my prayers for you, I always pray with joy. Paul is implying he's prayed more than once, and it's a continuous thing. I wonder how many of us want to go past the start line, but we just pray once. This kind of prayer isn't just thoughts, it's talking with the King of Heaven. And it's not just a one-moment conversation, but it's a continuous relational conversation with him. And it is honest. In verse 7 and 8, Paul says, it's okay for me to pray for you in this way and to feel about you this way because I've got you in my heart. You're not just in my head, you're in my heart. And I want to be honest with God about what's on my heart. What kind of prayer? They're to be honest ones. We get a feeling in these verses that Paul is expecting God to answer. These aren't just kind thoughts that he's writing down. These are things that he has brought into the throne room of heaven and expecting God to answer. What is it that you need to talk with God about this morning? And this afternoon, and this evening? What is it that you need to be honest with him about? Maybe you have started to pray those prayers but have given up, and you need to restart. There's a promise. In verse 6, that God isn't finished until Jesus returns. We're to cling on to that promise. If we're to see us move from the start line, we're to cling to that promise for ourselves and for others as well. Saffron has started her journey with Jesus. I am confident that God is going to complete the work in Saffron's life, because his word tells me. I wonder who you're holding on to that promise for. Maybe your children, maybe your spouses, maybe your siblings, maybe friends, that you are clinging to a promise that God has started the good work in them and he will continue it until it is complete in the day of Christ Jesus. That's when Jesus returns. He will finish it. He will accomplish it. That's the meaning of the word complete in the Greek there. That he will fulfill it completely. I wonder what things we need to cling on to that God will continue to grow in us until it is complete. Not just the things on the screen that are about our journey with Jesus, but maybe in our relationships with others. That we need to know that God is still going to work in our relationships and that he will bring about his purposes if we're willing to partner with him. And that's the third P. God wants us to partner with him. We pray, we cling to the promise that God will carry on, but we need to actually do something as well. How many of you want to run a marathon in your lifetime? Oh, Nita Bishop! That was a half hand. Hand right up, Anita. Well done. Okay, we're going to hold Anita to account because Anita has just said that's what she wants to do, and we want to partner with her. We want to help her. So Stuart is going to run it with her. No. If Anita does want to run a marathon, she could pray, God, help me run a marathon. She could promise. How far can you run so far? Half, nice. Half a marathon. God, you're going to help me finish the race. But what if she stopped and said, well, I can't be bothered. She's not going to finish it. She actually needs to get her trainers on and get moving. She needs to put in the hard work. If you are praying for something, we can't just wait and wait and wait because God invites us to partner. He invites us to partner with him in growing our lives to be more and more like Jesus. He invites us to partner with him in growing our marriages to be more like the marriage that he dreams for us. He invites us to partner with him in our work and our studies. I know of three that have A-level exams this week, and two that have GCSEs. Hands up if you have GCSE exams. One, two, three, four. Sorry, and A-levels? One, two. Cool. I will add you, a number of you are already on our prayer calendar at home. I will add those that I didn't realize on there. God wants you to work well in those exams. You could pray, God, help me. God, I'm going to claim that promise that you're going to carry this work on. But unless you actually try your best and actually turn up to the exam and put your name on the top and start writing, you're not going to get that qualification. There's a partnership involved. We need to work with God. He wants to partner, for us to partner with him in growing in holiness. I want to just think about verse 11. It says that we'll be filled with the fruit of righteousness. This is the end of Paul's prayer for the Philippian church, that they'll be filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Can you remember a few weeks ago, I had a little seed? This is one of the seeds. It was left there and we haven't cleaned it. This is a giant redwood. Giant redwood seed. Notice it doesn't say at the end of Paul's prayer, seeds of righteousness. It says fruit. God has started something. He's planted the seed of righteousness in him, of goodness in him, in fullness of life in him. He's planted it. His word in verse 6 says that he'll carry it on. He'll cause it to grow. In verse 10, it talks about the day of Christ Jesus. When Jesus returns, we will be filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to God's glory and praise. God wants to fill our lives with his righteousness, with the fruit of his righteousness. So we don't get stopped at the start line, we don't get stuck. But when Jesus returns, our lives are full of fruit of him. So this morning, what do you need to do, either for yourself or others, to grow? What areas do you need to grow in? Maybe it isn't just from this list, maybe it's the excuses or reasons why you're stuck, that screen. Maybe it's things that you need to bring to Jesus from there. What is it that you need to pray about, that you need to ask God to continue his work in your life as you open yourself up and partner with him? I'm going to pray, and then during our next set of songs of worship, if you'd like someone to pray with you, to pray some of these things through, then please do come just to my left and my right, and there'll be someone there to pray for you. If it is something that you just want to confess and just say, look, I've been doing spiritual pick and mix, I've been dabbling with this or with that, allow them to pray with you. Maybe there are other things on this list that you just need to bring to Jesus yourself and ask him to help you feel the confidence that God is continuing his work in you. Let's pray together as the band come up. Father God, we thank you that you promise in your word to continue working in us until we are complete. Thank you that that word complete is similar to the word that you declared from the cross, Jesus, when you said it is finished. That your work was done. And I thank you that one day when you return, we will be finished. We will be completed. We'll be made completely like you. Continue your work and help us to be confident that you're still working in us and through us. Would you minister into the things that have caused us to get stuck, or caused others that we know and are praying for to get stuck? Minister into those things. Enable us to be freed from them, so that we can run freely and journey with you. And I pray, Jesus, that as we apply your words and grow in the things that you want us to grow in workplaces and in our homes, in our schools, in our studies, in our relationships and marriages, in our personal life, in our walk with you, as you enable all of those things, all those areas to be, for us to grow more and more like you in, I pray, God, that people will see that you are at work and that they will get curious. Move amongst us by your Holy Spirit and help us to respond. Amen.